This is RSVNB Update, episode 462, recorded Friday, April 25th, 2014. There was a puzzle? Hello, everybody, and welcome to another roundabout edition of RSVNB Update. This week, Earth is joining us. Yes, this week, Earth is joining us. As it's a quest week, and it's a roundabout because we're just going to go around and round in a circle discussing things. And whether or not that's a good thing, I don't know. But my usual co-host is also here. Did you say hello, oh favorite one?
Oh, favorite one.
Yes.
I think he wants something.
What do you want?
Pretty sure he does.
Oh, me? I want something?
Yeah. Don't you always?
Favorite one.
No, I don't want anything today. But, you know, I was in such a good mood getting ready to start this quest. I had the idea of doing this week's show without notes and without referencing the RS update page. But
yeah, Shane was going to do it freestyle, guys, and Trekkie here was going to drop a... what you said freestyle, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, one of us is going to drop a sick beat. Leave it said.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just call it freestyle like that because in Star Trek Online, we had a methodology called freestyle PvPing where you just go do whatever you want because the other team was so weak that you could practically do anything and still get the kills. So anyways, we're not going to do that. I made notes for you guys. It's in the Google Drive as normal. But this week's main update, A Shadow Over Ashdale. It's a quest. A beginner quest at that. Earth, could you just describe to us what you said before we began here about the quest? How you have no recollection
of this quest?
Yeah.
I did this like 3 hours ago. I don't even know what was happening. I think I was doing something else at the time as well, but it seemed like I just ran in, killed shit, and then I won.
That is essentially accurate? What this quest was. I mean, it was a novice quest. How long did it take you?
I didn't time it, not long. I can assure you of that.
Were any of the little trap thingamadooies hard on you?
What traps?
Okay, there you go. Well.
No, like seriously, what traps?
Oh, those little things where if they look at you, they'd vaporize you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They vaporized Estran and pulled the levers.
Yeah, if they managed to catch you, they would vaporize you, and you'd have to go back to the start of that room.
Interesting.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so, I mean, the main purpose of this quest, it seems, is just to go in and save the citizens of Ashdale from whatever the heck kind of sea monster that was that had taken over.
I think it was Cthulhu.
Yep, that is the name.
Is that actually the name of it?
Pretty
sure. I just clicked on it.
Yeah, that's what it was at the end of the thing. And then there,
Scouts is what I'm at right now.
Yeah, the Scouts.
A minnow.
Crassian? Is that really the demonym for a Cthulhu thing? I don't know.
I'm just reading what this thing that just tried to attack me.
Yeah,
also, no, I'm doing the quest right now as we're doing the podcast.
Super responsible co-host, everyone.
Oh, this is how you prepare. I can put
Actually, since it's like this long, you probably could.
Yeah, and I mean, the main purpose of this quest is to provide beginner adventurers a way of getting accustomed to the theme of quests that involve puzzles, bosses, and evading
what
enemies.
Puzzle?
Well, the little water barrel thing.
Oh, that was a puzzle?
Yeah.
I guess I'm just trained to, all right, that shit's broken, so you gotta find the shit to repair it.
So...
And then you're good. I guess that's a puzzle.
Yeah, so basically what happens is you talk with Gudrik. He is southwest of the Taverly Bank, and he'll tell you that you need to go to Ashdale.
Annoyingly
because...
Scottish.
Yes.
Oi, yes. Laddie.
Aye, laddie.
Sandwiches. And good dinner. It's perfect. A good team.
And Trekkie's drunk.
And drunk.
He sounds like the devil man.
I'm dandy.
All right. So back on track. The island's deserted because something caused the citizens to vanish. And then you ultimately discover Lucy, who says that there is a problem in the town. It was attacked by horrible creatures, and they set up barricades and whatnot to keep them out. And she doesn't know what's going on now, but the idea is that they're actually in the sewers. So you got to make your way through this sewer system, killing various Cressian scouts. Now, I just killed them because they were pretty easy to kill. I don't know if they need to be killed.
Okay, it was... Why couldn't I just hop over the barricades? They're literally wood things.
And you think with agility that would be possible. Come again?
Well, as they said here, the reason you don't do this is because you don't want to get caught by 300 of them as you're, stuck in the middle of the barricade. Although I have to admit, looking at through this...
There wasn't a single one on the other side.
I don't know, but looking through this right now, Shane, I kind of feel like these things are like the adult version of the sea slugs.
Well, that could be it.
Think about it.
I guess...
Because, you know, sea slugs mind controlling, they're probably taking these things back to their lair to feed their children after we killed so many of them.
You know the way
they then mind control them? I thought they were just trapped in some sort of cave or something.
I got the mind control thing from them also a bit. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of that one mission on Star Trek Online where you need to go...
really quick, in and read.
Free the people from the Alachi.
Free the people.
Yes. No, you don't actually free them in this now, do we?
Well, you kill Cthulhu or whatever the hell it is, and then they're just sort of, all right, hi. And then there's a celebration or something. Yeah.
But first, you gotta complete the water barrel puzzle, and this is what you said. What puzzle?
Hey, but these things actually have adrenaline.
Yes.
Did not notice that.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, someone's dead. Dead smuggler. Okay.
But basically...
Something to look forward to.
In this puzzle, you got to put together the valve and then move the water between all the barrels, because once the water reaches the door will open to the final network of tunnels. We're used to doing these sorts of puzzles just intrinsically, I think, right?
Yeah.
And that's probably why
I thought that might have been what you were talking about, but I wasn't entirely sure.
Let's see. Well, right now I'm in a barrel room.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
there's
a puzzle.
That's the puzzle.
Quote unquote.
Let's see how long it takes him to figure this out.
Hey, don't use me as a guinea pig, you jerk.
Well, you're doing it right now, so...
You volunteered yourself for it. As you can see, as we talk about the quest, that's about how long it takes to do it.
Yep. And...
You should compile the item, huh?
And you're probably not using a guide, are you?
Not right now, I'm not. No.
If you needed a guide for this, you might be retarded.
No.
Let's remember... This is a novice quest.
Hey!
Designed for new adventures.
If you've been playing for years and you need a guide, you are retarded. How about that?
I would get behind that statement, yes.
You
You could get behind that.
Yep.
That's good.
Anyway, once you get to the end, you gotta fight the little boss, which are, what are you calling it again? Cthulhu? Cthribu?
Cthulhu.
Okay.
Cthulhu. It's Lovecraft.
Oh, okay. Apparently
now
the actual
the internet is cool.
Apparently the actual name for it is Aggaroth. But we'll just go with Cthulhu.
And doors open.
Now
I'm through.
How much food did you use for your fight with Cthulhu there, Earth?
I don't know, a couple of sharks.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
It was important because it was also creating I was creating a large vial and it froze my mouse. So I almost died. But
and
that
would have been my
sharks.
Fault, right?
Yes.
Of course it is.
You didn't tell me I needed to not create large files.
Did you bring food with you right now on the quest?
No.
No?
Squints, if you pay attention, you won't need it.
Okay, let me see. I see human beings.
Oh, so you got through the puzzle.
Exacts. I said that like 2 minutes ago. You don't listen, do you?
Oh, I listen. I just didn't know if you... Because you didn't give us no positive confirmation.
I did. It. I said, and I'm through. I said, and I'm through. Rewind.
All right. He did say that. Fair.
Alrighty, fair enough. Fair enough. Bonus points to anyone who gets
pairs
that.
To
Shane thinks he's hilarious.
Appears to play some part in the Cassian reproductive process. Oh, so Shane.
Mm-hmm.
They are the Dr. Phlox of the ocean.
What?
You want, mate?
They need a third sex.
Oh, right.
I got a lever thingy here. Let's see. Turn around. Yoink.
Oh, that's the
Ooh,
part he's
did.
At. So the part he's at right now... I feel like we're kind of observing him, you know, in the same way that sports commentators will commentate on like on a sports game or
and
a basketball
going around
game.
The curve. Going around the curve. Going around the turn. Going around the turn.
Going around the turn. I see three guys going my way, my way, my way, my way, my way, my way, my way.
So now let's see if he manages to get through this here, because there's a very interesting point where if you manage to not get through this and they see one of you, you'll be vaporized and sent to the back of the room. And this is where young adventurers, where the challenge comes in, is you need to realize that there's two levers on the wall that you can pull that will activate traps and make these two bad critters disappear.
Yeah, they almost got me with one of with that, but it was like, okay, I don't see anything on the wall here as I was going around synchronously on the other side with it. So it's like, all right, there's probably something up there.
Yep.
If there's not, whatever.
You got to evade the first one. And I actually managed to run through. And then the second round, one of them got me and I discovered that. So at first I was like, this thing, it killed me. Because it kills all your life points. And you're wondering where you're going to end up. But the good thing is...
That would have really been fair if they... I just
died.
You.
Yeah, so you don't lose any items, and you just go back a couple of spaces, so to speak. So it's not too bad. But at the end of the day, the boss fight, I guess it was kind of a challenge with the scaling combat. Would you agree with that?
Yes. As I said, I did have to use a couple of sharks. And for a novice quest, but scaled to my level, I'd say that's good. That is one thing that I can give credit
Ooh,
to this.
There's a chest here.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the chest?
Yeah, you get like 2 sapphires and 50 coins.
Oh, you'll enjoy that. You're always cheap.
Why?
Right? Why is he cheap, Shane?
Well, it's just the way he is. Anyways. And then,
Thanks,
as you
Shane.
Said... What?
Oops.
What?
Oh, nothing.
And as I said, once you get to the end, there is a nice party that you manage to have with the residents of, what's this place? Ashdale, right? So, overall, very quick quest. I want to call this an introduction to NPC boss killing and quests with challenges for new players. I think that's the best way of describing this, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and I mean, rewards aren't anything special. 300 XP to each of the combat skills, quest point. You also get black pearls, which give you a bonus XP in any chosen skill, which is purportedly the same as a fallen star, a large fallen star. So, nice amount of bonus XP from that to be used once a day. What are you going to use yours on?
I don't know.
You said it was a prismatic large star.
Mm-hmm.
Fishing.
Okay.
Mine's going on 90 right now.
Okay.
Farming.
That's good. No, mine's going on Duncan Divination.
Dungeonation?
Yeah, I kind of combined Dungeoneering and Divination there, but Divination.
No, you did combine many games.
I got the Kraken.
Cthulhu? Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm on the ship thing. And he jerk just stunned me.
So, another thing that was interesting about this quest was that it relied heavily on camera and lighting. Did you notice that?
I noticed the camera. You said to look at the shadows?
Yeah.
And you sent me that email, and I was like, what?
Like, It effectively showed where you needed to go based on the lighting, which is something you guys told me when we started playing
Half-Life. Valve did. Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like,
well, I did notice that I didn't get lost.
Yeah, exactly.
So, how could you get lost? Only one path.
Like two.
Well, yeah, but like I didn't go even the wrong direction. I knew where to go.
Yes, and the two big prime examples of this are right at the beginning when you go to Lucy's house. There's a big light on the front porch, of course, and then there's also light emanating from inside the house.
Perfect.
And then that's, yeah, so that shows that you want to go in there. And then once you go in there, the camera pans itself accordingly so that it shows to go out the door. And then once you go down the door, it's investigative that, you know, that's the only place to go. You're going to go through the sewer system, and then from there, it's fairly self-explanatory. Same thing in the sewer system, the shadows. You don't go in an area where the shadows are. The shadows are where the chests are. So that was fairly interesting. And at the end, when you go to the final place where that stairwell appears, the camera pans there to go up these stairwells into that house. And then once you're in the house, there is another big spotlight on the bust. You basically tilt this bust, you grab it, and you twist it. And then,
yeah, I knew what to do.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
And, I mean, you can say all you want for this quest being stupidly easy and everything, but when you think about it, the only dialogue in this quest... Yes, when you begin, and at Lucy's house, everything else is just interacting with your environment. Which I think is good. I mean, if you can tell a story with just using the camera and your character interacting, that's good for two reasons. Because first reason, it is what video games have been doing for quite a long time. You'll know that whenever you play a first-person shooter, any kind of modern video game, the cutscenes are sparse. And in those cutscenes, often the dialogue is secondary with the associated subtitles. So you can keep that in mind. And the second thing is, if Jagex can produce a quest without dialogue, that means that that quest is quicker to come into the game, because A, you don't need to write the dialogue, and B, you don't need to actually put this dialogue into game and translate it into the five or however many languages there are now of RuneScape. So that's the upshot of this quest. And, I mean, for that reason, and the scaled combat and whatnot, this is going to get a 3 out of 5, primarily just because I don't know if the storyline is going to go anywhere in the future, which, as you said, it might, because right, these look like dead. The grown-up sea slugs, right?
What?
It did.
Good.
Cthulhu's dead.
No, or Goth.
And you did it with no food.
No, soul split.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
cheating.
Yeah, I didn't even.
Not really. And the cold thing was annoying.
Yeah. Lucy. All right.
So okay. Well, as a quest, 2 out of 5. But once you brought up the trial thing, I'd give this a 4 out of 5 for that. For this being actually for the trial itself, like the test of the lighting and all of that, I'd give this a 5 because I didn't even notice it. It wasn't blatantly a test.
Yeah, and I mean, there was one sentence in last week's behind the scenes video, and that's the only reason why I picked up on this. Like, it was just a passing reference, maybe 5 seconds long in the behind the scenes video, but aside from that, it's something that you know.
What they say?
Well, basically, they said that they wanted to focus on lighting and environment,
and that this would be like an expansive quest.
Exactly. And plus, also, okay. What you guys said.
This wasn't something that we got. What we were promised.
Exactly. We did.
5 out of 5. Whole thing.
Wow. All right.
Well, we got what we were promised. So,
and I mean, it provides
that they're focusing on the lighting and environment, and that it wouldn't be very expensive, and that's exactly what we got.
Yep.
And they did well with that.
All right, I'll upgrade to a 4 then. In that case,
I was just gonna give this a 1 before I knew about all of that, but.
And see, that's the thing. I think many people aren't going to realize.
Cabbages.
When you go into this quest, is that it's not your normal quest. It's an experiment on Jagex's part. And, you know, I mean, maybe if we hadn't have had those experiences in Half-Life and, like, showing the lighting and whatnot about where to go, maybe I wouldn't have picked up on it this week, even though they mentioned it in one sentence last week in the behind-the-scenes video. But anyways, overall, pretty
okay.
Good.
Okay.
So let's move on from the quest and just say that hopefully we see more like that. Oh, and did you guys notice it was raining?
Yeah, I noticed that.
I think they look pretty decent.
There's a statue in the house, in the town.
Yeah, that looked rather creepy.
The boss?
I wish.
Ooh, I see the sun. Fascinating.
What?
I see the sun.
See the sun?
On Ashdale.
Yeah, I literally see a sun.
Yeah, and
blue skies and a sun.
View?
Huh?
In a top-down view? How
does that look? No, when I look parallel to the ground.
Interesting.
Yeah,
is that just there, or has that been other places?
It's Ashdale only.
Okay.
And
that's
I wonder what happened if we're wearing a sexton in here.
Yeah. And this is a good thing about Ashdale, is that it's letting us experiment with all these interesting things that will eventually come to the rest of the game. So overall, pretty well done. Anyways, moving on to the tweaks and fixes for this week. I don't know why I said that strangely, but a whole bunch of changes to the early game experience. But also, they updated some player kits. So, once again, they're making the players look better. And I think that if you look at where this is going, this quest combined with the player kit update and this whole Pathfinder hybrid armor set that's been added, I think we're definitely looking at an early improvement to that part of the game. And then in much the same way that things have been field tested elsewhere, that technology for quests, the animation updates, and just in general the quality of life changes will ultimately move out to the rest of the game.
Oh, this is boo-boo, Shane.
What's wrong?
Experience lamps, 300 XP in combat skills that I've already got 99 in.
Yeah, well, I mentioned that. It is a beginner quest. Alrighty, so the tweaks and fixes. Anything jumping out at both you guys this week?
Wow, Shane, guess what?
Hmm?
I finished this off before we even finish off the RS news.
Yeah. Yep.
That was short.
25 minutes, okay. Exactly. So, tweaks and fixes. What do you guys see on here?
Small floating triangle in the chemist's house in Remington has now been removed.
What?
It's weird. I don't know. Engine fixes. Resizing the game window will no longer leave a trail behind it of what was there before. What does that mean?
I don't know, particularly because that seems like it might be a Windows issue, but if this is what I'm thinking on OS X, when I resize the game window, I can see stuff that's on my other monitors from the previous day. So, like, if I had a YouTube video up the previous day, I would...
Like, even when you were playing it?
Yeah. It's like the frame buffer gets stuck on OS X, and then when you resize the RS game window, it refreshes and displays it in the RuneScape window for a fraction of a second. I mean, I've had stuff like Dig come up before, YouTube, RSBNB, lots of stuff. So it'd be interesting to see if that gets fixed.
Had those been open in the background while RS was up?
No.
Weird.
Yeah, so that could be that.
The refer a friend interfaces have been removed from around the Gilinor. What's that?
So does this mean they remove refer a friend?
Did they?
Could be. Because, I mean, that's never really an interface I clicked on. And I never paid any attention to it. So I'm not sure if it was there this week. Let me have a quick look here and see if that's the case. Because if they did, that would be another...
That's interesting.
Signification. Oh no, recruit a friend is still in my friends list, but oops, that opened a website, didn't want to do that. Basically what I'm guessing is that the refer friend stuff is just going to be in the interface now and not really in the actual game itself, which is good, I guess, because I think if you talk to some of the early NPCs around the trainer and Lumbridge area, they did mention the refer friend system in the past.
Fair enough.
Also, the POH book interface has been graphically updated. That's good. In terms of reading stuff from the library.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, nothing really else that's going to change the way we play the game this week. Kingdom management interface's graphical overhaul Stealing creation familiars now have a summon as their left click option.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's the tweaks and fixes for the week. What do we got next, you fine individuals?
Cabbages! Cabbages! My cabbages!
What about them?
Oh no, I just want to punch some funds in the face with them.
Well, it looks like that's disappearing on the 28th. And all I gotta say about that is good riddance. This has been one of the most annoying updates that I've played in a long, long time. And I'm glad
that don't you just run?
Yeah, yeah, it's cabbage versus monkey versus the godless.
What?
Yeah. That's all this update is. And the event portion of it is going away on Monday. But the actual minigame itself, running back and forth, turning into grills and whatnot, that's actually staying in the game. So, I don't know. I mean, I kind of wish that they'd take the minigame with them when they go, but who knows. Good riddance. Good riddance. You guys want to go for one final run through this thing this weekend?
No.
And by the way, they decreased the number of people needed to start to 6 from 8. So.
From 6 to 8. I see.
I mean, they from 8 to 6. Did I say 6 to 8?
Think so.
Yes.
Okay. Well, following from that, we got 2 new polls this week. Strangely, the third poll is absent once again. Who knows why they're doing that, but I am not complaining at all. No complaints.
Bring Gothic's back.
Yeah, that. I mean, we really should get behind that and get that as a poll. To reincarnate Gothic somehow. I mean, there have been gods and whatnot who have risen from the dead before in other games and movies, so why not have something similar here, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know,
but let's just exploit this poll system to its top priority. But this week's Dragonstone poll is the next distraction and diversion. What would we like them to make the next distraction and diversion? They're focused around skills. Farming. The choices are farming, divination, herblore, crafting, and I don't mind.
Farming.
You want farming?
You voted for farming, Shane?
No, I didn't vote for farming, actually.
Really? I thought you were considering there was farming on the as a selection.
I voted for divination.
Just for you, buddy.
Me too, Shane.
You voted for Divination Earth?
I voted for farming for you, Shane.
Oh, really?
See, Chris
and I were thinking of you, and you're just like, nah, I don't think so.
See, you know, told you. But see, the thing is, I don't trust further updates to the farming skill.
You liked the last one.
Yeah, the last one was good, but I just don't want to have something else crazy out there like the Livid Farm. So, that's why we got to be very careful with
farm
how we...
isn't farming.
Exactly!
God, I hate that minigame. I'd like to have some of the spells from it, I think. But...
Oh, does it take you forever to get it?
It takes literally 30 hours.
Yeah, and it's not real farming.
I don't know.
And I already got 99 magic.
Yeah, so you don't need it.
Though, group vengeance would be useful.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I'll give you that. Group vengeance is useful, and it's such a shame that all these support spells like that are locked behind the Livid Farm. I honestly think that being a support mage would be interesting, and that's one thing that RuneScape lacks, is the support class.
No, what this game really lacks is a lack of abilities. We've touched on that since the dawn of time. They really...
Oh, yeah.
I want to see, you know, smart, at least 10 skills for each style of fighting. Two-hander, mix, you know, two, you know, offhand, shield, and... You
and
know,
have
then you
the armor
really...
and quests give us abilities. Like, let's
so
say
is Bethesda
armor
going
set.
To take over, Trekkie? Is that what you want?
What?
Do you want Bethesda to take over then?
Havesta? What? Who?
Bethesda. They made Skyrim.
Oh. I never played Skyrim, so I really don't care.
Weird.
Yes, I never play Skyrim because I know if I play Skyrim, you won't see me ever again.
Anyways, a question. Or no, I mean, 22% said farming, 31% divination, 22% herb lore, 17% crafting, 5% I don't mind.
Crafting?
Crafting. I'm pretty sure I said crafting.
I heard crafting. Whatever.
All right. And the next poll pertains to Halloween 2014. What happens next, number 3, in where we discuss what kind of weapon will be used against the spiders, and 37% of the people...
uses a vacuum cleaner to kill a spider.
I have. But it's more of... Well, it's up there in the ceiling, and I can't reach... Even I can't reach it with the... You know, Kleenex. So I was like, screw it. Hose, vacuum, done.
Seriously?
What, you never done that before?
No!
Have you ever thought of doing that before?
No, that is one of the last things I would ever consider doing, actually.
What'd you do, throw a shoe at it?
Yes, that's what I do, actually.
That's what the person did
to
George Bush.
Although I picked a lawyer because if there's one thing Jagex is fairly good at is humor.
Yes,
so,
I said the lawyer as well.
Because that's funny.
Yeah. And what are drinking glasses?
Weirdos, like, say what?
What are drinking glasses?
Glass that you drink out of?
Yeah, like the one you have next to you right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just like a glass. I guess they did that to specify from, like...
A chalice.
Seeing glasses.
Alright. But 8% said the glasses, 20% the lawyers, and 21% the magnifying glass. And 11% newspapers. I've used the newspaper before as well.
Yeah, newspaper? Okay, that makes sense. Lawyer? Hilarious. Vacuum.
What the heck is lawyers gonna do? Scream like a banshee and then try to sue it for, you know, for scaring the living daylights out of him?
I don't know, but that'd be funny.
And then they could bring politics into RuneScape with this. They could have some sort of political
drama. Why would you
want
to do that?
99 politicians, 99 gerrymandering, guys.
Yeah, there you go. And, I mean, the Jagex...
What else are politicians good at? I guess they could add in charisma, fundraising, the Grand Exchange, free stuff, bucks, and then you end up... being able to send out global announcements, free stuff blocks.
Oh, that's such a good idea. Let's do it. Let's make it so. Let's have
a poll, guys. Let's make a poll.
Let's see. What do you need? Gerrymandering, fundraising, charisma.
We already have thieving.
What about spinning? Because you need to spin stuff as a politician.
No, that's the media.
Why spinning?
I already have crafting, anyway. Can add a subset. Word... Well, no, that'd go under charisma, word crafting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so there we go. That's a perfect reason to choose the lawyer option, everyone. Go out into the Power of the Players Bowl here and choose the lawyers for the very beginning of the RuneScape Politicians, where we'll discuss gerrymandering, charisma, and a whole bunch of other things. All right. There's the pulling garbage for the week. Let's take the garbage out and move on to Solomon's General Store Retro Armor 3. So, did you guys purchase any of these?
No, why would we buy retro armor? You want retro armor? Go to 07.
Okay.
Oh, what though? Shane, you bought some, didn't you?
Actually, no, I didn't. I was thinking of who might buy these, though, and I had an idea that our informer writer, our friend Alex43, would probably end up purchasing this set because he was always a fan of the old adamant-style armor, which really changed its look when it was updated, so I wouldn't be surprised if he purchased one of those. They also have Bandos and Armadil armor, so those look how they always used to look, and of course Godsword visual overrides. So okay, you guys didn't purchase these, I didn't purchase them. Who else would have,
Mike? I don't think Mike would.
No, I don't think so.
Okay then. Well, you know what? If Uncle Daniel's listening to this, I bet you he probably did. I call me old fashioned, but this was cool.
And I mean, if
who?
Grandpa Dana.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Mike. I was confused.
If they were include the God Wars, or not the God Wars, but the God Treasure Trail armor overrides. That is the Ceridoman, Zamorak, and Guthix old style of armor. I might look into purchasing that, seeing as I really like the way the old Ceridoman armor looked with the white trim and whatnot around it. So,
hey, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Didn't you buy some really... What was that armor you bought recently?
I bought my Drygors.
Is that armor?
Those are weapons.
Oh. What armor do you use?
I use Torags.
Well, if you give them to me, I'll trim them for you, okay?
Anytime you want to borrow my Drygors, just ask.
Those of you who don't know, that was an old scam back in the day. Yeah, sure, I'll trim your armor for you.
He scammed me. Earth scammed me.
Yep. Probably.
So, now, if these changes came into effect before Old School was announced and everything like that, do you think they would have needed to create Old School in that? I mean, if they would have been able to present these?
Yes. But this is nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, even if they were free before Old School came around and everything.
They were free?
Yeah.
These are free?
No, if they were free.
Oh, I don't know.
It costs you 60,000 loyalty points, by the way.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right. So... Anybody out there who bought these, let me know. I want to know your rationale behind why you chose these. And I said I would only purchase these if the God Armor Treasure Trail Override was also there, which was kind of weird seeing as the trimmed and golded black adamant and rune armor was already there. So, though nothing beats what the old skirts used to look like. I'll say that. Do you know there was a time in RuneScape where I wore a dragon skirt because it was cheaper than the dragon plate legs?
No, you were wearing Shane. You were wearing a dragon kilt.
found that image on Reddit, Shane, about the poll.
Ah, I see.
It's pretty much what I said. Who the kills spiders with
Asian people?
A vacuum cleaner.
I do. I have.
You're a weird race.
Alrighty, what's next?
Hi.
Jerk. Just because, you know, you're not smart enough to use a vacuum cleaner to suck up a spider, this doesn't mean the rest of the world.
Do you have a vacuum cleaner on hand all the time? Because I don't.
I did it at home.
Actually.
Jen, that was a shitty keyboard one that didn't even work.
What, you use a keyboard and try to smack a spider?
No. I had this shitty little keyboard cleaner, and it didn't even work.
It made a nice noise, though.
Yeah.
It made a nice noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, what's next, my friends?
Next. Okay, well, next we have the behind the scenes, don't we, Shane?
Yeah. The RuneScape road trip. Let's go on a RuneScape road trip, shall we?
No, I don't trust you driving, Shane.
Is this year's Super September? Or Mad, I guess it's going to be called Mad May, but seems like it's what Super September was.
Yeah, I guess so. The idea is, even though you're all so busy with real life, we're going to
come play anyway.
I know, right? That's what I was getting at. I was like, he's at the, well, you want to start explaining? You want to explain the video first, Shane, before we do our little rant?
Basically, May is going to be filled with a whole bunch of bonus weekends to start off with. So Slayer Weekend, Skiller Weekend, in which the resources will last longer and be more plentiful, a minigame weekend, and a Dungeoneering weekend. And throughout all this, there's also going to be a special book of challenges that you can do on each day in May, where you'll, you know, get various pieces of a cosmetic outfit and lamp rewards and bonus XP all throughout the month. So, I don't know. It seems like this is going a little bit too far, I think, in terms of giving too much out. Particularly because, you know, with more plentiful resources and everything during the skilling weekend, there's going to just be so much more stuff coming into the game. And I think we're at a very nice spot right now for those who use the primary skills to make money that they can actually enjoy themselves with it. So I don't know if this is the right way to go, but we also got to see Jagex's fashion sense in this video with Mod. What's his name?
Infinity.
Mod Infinity and Mod Maltair.
The other guy.
Yeah,
Maltair. Yeah, Infinity has weird hair. What's his name? Voltaire?
Maltair.
Oh, okay. Not a thinker. I think he was a thinker. Composer. Something like that. Anyway, yeah, he had a weird jacket thing on.
It looked like a straight jacket.
Not quite.
No, it wasn't a straight jacket. Sure, Shane wished it was.
No, I have nothing against Maltaire.
I didn't say anything about Maltaire, I said you wish it was.
Why?
So you can see how crazy Jagex has been, and that's the reason why all these updates are happening.
Oh no, I think
I get it.
I think that, you know, Jagex doesn't need to do that, you know, to come across with their choice of updates recently. I think they're perfectly entitled to do what they want. We might not agree with them, but that's just the whole point of the show here. And I mean, you got to give credit to Mod Infinity for coming on the video there with that hairstyle and combined pink and blue shirt like that.
Pink is a good color, especially at night. Yeah.
What was that there?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
Said, what?
Alrighty. Well, you said you had a rant about this May RuneScape road trip thing.
Well, me and Ree were thinking the same thing. They started off the video talking about how May is going to be one of the most stressful times in real life due to school, classes, work, trips, etc., etc., etc. So, let's get you playing RS by having all these bonus things happening. So, either you play it or you fail your test.
Yay. Like,
and the whole thing was like, oh, we're going to do things every weekend. We're going to do this like every single day. And it's like, why would you do this every single day? That you're not really helping your players, are you? You're really hurting them because then they got to decide, do I play or do I study?
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, the economy will suffer. Honestly, if you're just wanting to give something back to the players, you know, to just have an event about it, just do another double XP weekend.
But, sure.
I mean, whatever. We'll do it. Who knows? Remember that cabbage one with Super September?
Oh, yeah, that we had to do twice.
Yeah.
Because Shane sucks. I organized the clearing of that cabbage field just for Shane, who couldn't find the, what was it, the cheer remote?
Yes. Alrighty, well, that's it for RS updates this week. We kind of went long-winded. Anyways, moving on to questions. We got an audio question for you guys. The first one is from Elysian City.
Hello, Elysian City here. I was just wondering, looking back on it now, after all this time the bonds have been out and in the game, I think it's safe to say they've left their mark. So, my question to you guys is, do you think it's left a positive or a negative impact on the game? And if so, how? I personally don't know if the botting and gold farming problem has been reduced at all by the bonds, but I've only come back for the past couple days after taking a substantial break of over 6 months. So if you guys would answer my question, I'd really appreciate it, and thank you. Bye.
Well, answer your question really quick. Bonds did leave a very positive impact in the game. You'll actually, one of the best things you've noticed if you actually go back and read the old updates is the Well of Goodness. And you can see how much money and stuff was donated to charity from it.
Yeah, how much was?
I know it was over 30,000 US.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's not counting the second time, remember, when during the bonus weekend. When they open it up again for X, Y, and Z. Yeah, Lena did it again, right, Shane?
Yeah, they did. And you know what ultimately came from this? You could put, you know, GP or whatever in there, but you could also put bonds in there. And the bonds were valued at $5 each. And you could, you know, buy these with your RuneScape money and then just dump them
so
in.
So they were... The donation to charity was valued at what a bond $5. Costed.
Yep.
Exact cost.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But of course,
so Jagex made no profit from that, which I think speaks a lot. And also, $30,000 for a small company is
pretty good.
A lot.
Another important thing is that they matched whatever was donated by the players.
Yeah, wait, so it's actually $60,000?
Yep. They doubled it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what's good about bonds is if you actually read up on it, it's a way to kind of help your friends out who, hey, I want to get members, but I can't get members because I don't have access to a credit card. Well, hey, I need some more money, but I can't give you, well, in theory, I'm not supposed to give you any of any gold because I'll be considered in-game trading. So have a bond, you can sell that bond in order to make more money. I think, what's the market cost now on still around $7 million per bond?
6.1.
I don't know.
Okay. So in a way, the bond was kind of like a safe way for players to trade money and get membership without having to hassle doing worry about the hassle. So, you know, if and, you know, the thing is that many players have more money than they can spend. They're basically Bill Gates times 300 in the game. And so usually spending that much money means nothing to them. That much in-game gold means nothing to them. But, you know, if they buy like 1 million bonds, they literally have free membership for God knows when. And 7 million in terms of what these people can do is really nothing. So they literally can, let's see, what, two bonds for one full, more, almost
two slightly less than 1 full days. Month.
Yeah, slightly less than 1 full month. So therefore, you know, roughly 14 million gold every month, and they get free membership. Well, most of them make 14 million gold every day, so...
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, that is one good thing that comes from it, is being able to pay through play. And you remember at Christmas time, we did the double bond giveaway. And this is good because we can actually give stuff away now. We can give away membership, we can give away rune coins based on this by just buying it in-game without needing to put real-world money to it, and it's a lot safer than giving membership to a person and whatnot. So, bonds have been nothing but positive. I mean, I've even gone so far as to offer former staff members 14 days membership in order to try RuneScape again.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
But in regards to bots, I will say that bots have been significantly diminished, both in terms of the huge bot nuke they did at the end of 2012 and the progressive technologies that have come in through 2013 and have been continued to be tweaked. And there was a post made a couple weeks ago by ModMMG pertaining to the state of bots and, you know, how people get banned for seemingly nothing a couple days after, but that's just the way the new random bot watch system works. So the system is working, and you can see it's working because the number of players online is significantly lower than it was all the years where the bots were active. And, I mean, this was really visible the first day that the system came into play, because as soon as the system came online, after the first major bot nuke, you saw these numbers go down to what they are now. So it's not that people have left, it's that the bots are gone. And anyone who tells you otherwise is just making things up to further some idiotic hidden agenda about Jagex.
Conspiracy theories. They don't ban member bots because that's free money.
Exactly. And, I mean, you got to trust what MMG says. He's one of the most open CEOs out there. Posts on his Twitter account, interacts with players and everything. So you got to put some faith in
and
what
like,
he says.
He's not uptight either on his Twitter. I've seen him post some things that I would have been surprised if... I was surprised that came from a CEO of a company.
And for that reason, I've also been able to just lighten up a bit on the show in terms of the editing. You'll hear that there were some words that you said earlier that made it through the filter.
I assume not though.
No, it's not that one.
Censored.
Yep.
Oh, that one's gonna be censored. What about bitch?
That's fine.
Really? I'm guessing damn and shit are okay, because those are like PG now, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard these words on nightly TV as well, so, I mean, and given the RuneScape demographics and what you said about MMG, so, it's fine.
But definitely not
No.
Screw?
Yeah, that's shit, a piece of piece of equipment that you used to put stuff on the wall.
What about antiquing?
That's what? Fine.
Antiquing.
What's wrong with that?
Reed never watched Futurama.
No.
Alrighty. Okay. Read this next question, please.
Go, Reed. All yours.
What? I don't wanna.
Fine, I'll do
it. You
paid made a pun with my name. Shane, it's not in the notes.
Yeah, it is.
Where are you putting it?
Stupid Google Docs didn't update. You just pasted that. Has there ever been an update that you would hate, has there ever been an update that you thought you would hate, but wound up loving? I remember thinking that PlayerUnknown's Ports would be a terrible idea, and now I do it every day. And now that Zoros has returned, are you disappointed that the game is sort of making it obvious that the player should be on his side? I know some of the things he said in, what's that stand for, Shane?
Fate of the Gods?
Fate of the Gods were a little ominous, like that he wants to become an Elder God. There's no reason to be on anyone else's side, except maybe Armadil, assuming you want a benevolent god in charge. Zemarak is evil, and we barely know him. Saradomin was good, but now he's probably not. Thoughts? Also, do you think that, at some point, the player will have to kill Zoros, Zemarak, Saradomin, Brassica Prime? This is from Magic One. Go ahead, Shane.
Slayer.
You heard it when it first came out?
Yeah, I did. Because back in the olden days of 2005 when this came out,
I remember.
We were all in the various modes that there were certain critters that were best to kill for combat experience. And you had the chance of, you know, getting... Say what?
Experiments.
That was even before then. The main one I was thinking of was Shadow Warriors. But we were all just heading our ways, and we didn't like having to go out and, you know, kill things, being told what to kill. And when Slayer came out, it was slow, one of the slower skills to level up, and, you know, it took a good amount of time to get to everything good. That is pretty much north of level 60 when you think about it in terms of the Slayer table. So there was that, and plus that all the Slayer monsters that came out were just busy at the time. So it wasn't really something that you wanted to train, at least not me. You always just preferred to go back to your known methods of training. So.
I actually remember when Slayer first came out, some of my friends were complaining about it. They were complaining about it because they ended up getting... You remember when it came out, Steel Dragons and Iron Dragons more or less just came out, like, you know, 1 week ago. And you remember how difficult it was for us to kill it. You know, especially since, like, not all of us, you know, were all super high levels yet. We were all just, like, you know, medium.
70.
Like 80, 70, 100... You know, you got 100. You were pretty good at the time, and I remember some of them end up getting Iron Dragons and Steel Dragons. They were in the hundreds, so you know they got like great experience out of. Well, I guess not. Maybe like what 70. I guess that's what it is. But you know, it took so long for them to kill, and I remember time after time after time, people came up to me. Don't talk to the Slayer Master in Shiloh. He will give you Iron Dragon, you'll never kill them, you'll never finish it, you'll never do anything, you'll be stuck with this ever, never, never. And what sucked was a week later, they introduced how you can talk to the Birthrope guy to redo your, to kind of do a mini
reset.
Oh,
it was more than a week later.
Yeah,
it was like
weeks
months.
Later, I guess, but no, I think it was a month.
It was like May or June.
At least 2 weeks. But
no, trust me, it was May or June.
Fine, whatever.
Hey, move on.
Well, anyway, what I remember was even though you could do it, those who got an assignment before this, especially those who get a couple hundred steel and iron dragons, they had no choice. They had to fight through and they couldn't change. And let's just say most of them spend way more money than they had in order to kill it, to finish off the task. It made Slayer not fun for many people for a while.
Yep. So do you say Slayer as well, or you got something else in mind?
No, I don't know. I think construction. No, not construction. What's construction? No, summoning. You remember when we first summoning came out, we were all, it was like right after the whole no more free trade thing on RS.
Yep.
And how, you remember a little rant that we had, how angry we were with summoning because it was just literally a money sink. And it basically sucked the life out of everyone. And the only way to quote unquote make money was to, you know, basically sell tertiaries. But getting those tertiaries was always more of a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took, I remember all the time at the time, we couldn't really make anything from summoning. It wasn't anything we could really make. And it was more, in a way, it was semi of a nuisance to make it. But, you know, then it got to a point where you can carry stuff with you, do the yaks and titans and whatnot, and that's when it started getting decent. So, I hated summoning when it first came out, but I will say this, Shane, I love my magpies. Dude, my magpies rule. I love them.
What do those do?
Free money.
Are those the gem things? That's a little bird.
Tweet, tweet. Yes. I love those things. They always make me money.
How about you, Eric?
Star Wars The Old Republic.
No. I don't know. I can't think of anything. Was it what I thought you'd hate but loved?
Or at least didn't hate as much.
One I thought I would love, but I ended up hating. It's Birthright of the Dwarves.
Oh, God.
I still have not finished that quest.
Nor have I. I haven't even started on it. I should.
Oh, that was so painful. I was the only one to do it fully.
No,
did they fix all the bugs in that thing yet, or no?
Doubt it. I mean, they'd have
and
to redo the
quest. And there was a major plot hole.
More than one.
Yeah. And you know, that's what worries me so much with the elf quest, is that was the last quest to be chosen by the players. And the same developer who was on that, he's on the elf quest.
Well, I think I say this: if they screw up the elf quest, there will be an angry riot.
Yeah, because the dwarf one always was more lighthearted. I will say that, but they mess up the elf one. People are going to be coming out of the woodworks to be angry, and
they're
going to
be coming at them with pitchforks.
Yep. They do that. Will you buy the plane tickets, Shane?
No.
Okay.
All right. And since you really couldn't come up with one, I'll just give you another one, and that's the return of free trade. I didn't know if that was the best idea.
I thought I would love the trade limit thing, but
yeah,
I did not enjoy that.
And I mean, or I didn't know.
I thought I would hate the trade limit thing, but I didn't mind that.
Yeah.
I was really happy about the wilderness.
Yeah, it made clues easy.
Yeah.
No little PKRs to mess up your clue scrolls.
But you know,
the return of free trade, I was really hesitant of because, you know, first things first, it was a player vote, one of the first. And so this is not just me being hesitant about power to players. It's gone back to even then. But also, just given that it was such a huge effect on the economy, and I didn't know what the bots would end up doing. And, you know, as we saw, the bots did really sink the economy after that. But at the end of the day, we're better now. It's kind of like the idea where, you know, you surrender in the war to save life in the short term. But at the end of the day, you'll come out ahead. And that's kind of what we did here. So, all right. We kind of went long-winded there, so let's be quick with this next one. Do you think it's making it seem like we should be on Zaro's side?
Only because we're being exposed to him more than any of the other gods. So, I mean, in that way, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But,
you're right, because there hasn't been an Arbiter quest yet.
That one Sarah Doman one, but that wasn't really about Sarah Doman, was it?
That was the Black Knights.
It's the Black Knights.
Yeah.
So, I'd say only because we're getting so much exposure to him.
And if the others were around, they'd be, you know, peddling us with the same sort of propaganda.
Yes. It's a liberal agenda.
All right, at some point, we'll need to kill either Zaros, Zamorak, Sarah Doman, or Brassica Prime.
I don't really want to kill Brassica Prime, but can I cut out their vocal cords?
Please. Please do. I would love to kill Brassica Prime.
That was painful.
Oh, in the Missing Presumed Death quest?
Yes. Just obnoxious.
Oh, God. Yes,
Turkey,
my son.
Quit singing Klingon opera.
It wasn't Klingon opera.
Sounded like it.
Or
was that a Chinese opera?
Jerk.
I don't know. I think it'd be good to stab Sarah Doman and kill him and get his power. Like I said, the ultimate end goal of the Sixth Age has got to be the player ascending to godhood and the Church of You.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I've said many times before. What decisions you make will impact your gameplay somehow. My thoughts on this so far, Shane, is hopefully you'll become powerful enough to make the right calls later on down the line. And I say never feel sorry about making a different choice with your friends. You know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, somebody has to talk about the opposing points on this podcast. Right, Shane?
Yeah. That's what we're all about. It's just really unfortunate, though, that whenever I want someone to come on to talk about the opposing viewpoints, they have to go away for some odd reason. We were going to have the best debate ever about the evolution of combat when that was coming out, but the poor fellow who was going to come on and talk about the no side of it disappeared for some reason. He was never heard from again.
Probably shot him, Shane.
Absolutely not.
Who was that?
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, ascending to godhood, it would be the best way to end the Sixth Age, I think.
Yeah, but then you'd have to go back and you'd fight bosses that are difficult. Well, is Nomad even difficult now?
No.
No, Shane, Reed, you forget. You bring Zaros back. He, Zamorak, Sarah Doman are going to fight at it with all the other many deities are going to fight back. Whoever you allied with during that quest couple months back will be your second in command. Then you wait till everyone weakens themselves. Then you go in with all your deity power, summon a mighty zombie army, and you slaughter everything. Then you kill off Zamorak, kill off Sarah Doman, you kill off all your enemies, that you keep Zaros alive, but totally drain of his power, and then you become Supreme Overlord of Glendinor for life.
Why?
Why not? Oh, and your ally, you'll backstab him and become Supreme Overlord of the universe.
You know, I think you'd be better off pulling a little bit more benign, like happened at the end of Deep Space Nine with Sisko.
Nah, screw that. I'm not gonna commit.
It's an annoying ending.
I'm not gonna commit seppuku. Nah. Ooh, probably should not have said that, but too late.
Alrighty, thank you, Magic One. Moving right on to tech news. First up, Netflix is going to become a real TV channel and get its own cable channel.
How's that work?
Well, basically, there's an agreement with smaller cable companies in the U.S. That'll let these subscribers watch Netflix content through their cable boxes. So they're going to be on smaller networks, RCN, Grand Communications, and Atlantic Broadband. I've never heard of any of these.
There might be a reason why. Most likely they just did it so that they want to do a pilot test. You know, if it just works out, yeah. They fix out the bugs and go through it.
Didn't want to get
It wouldn't go super crazy yet.
Yeah. 500,000 subscribers potential on this.
You know, you're talking about this next, Shane, but with some of the recent internet things that's been happening, some have been considering maybe Netflix should go into peer-to-peer. Back in the days of torrents. What do you think of that?
It could work if you have the right kind of rights management on the software.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But it's so easy right now. You just queue up what you want, press go, and off you are. You're watching it.
Yes, but if Comcast has anything to say about it, they want to make $20 billion more per episode.
And, I mean, this isn't the first place to do this. Apparently, it's already been done in Denmark, Sweden, and the UK. So,
what has?
This same sort of agreement with the cable providers where the people get to watch Netflix.
Netflix has done that over there? Or is that a different company that did it?
No, Netflix did it over there.
Cool.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a matter of getting the cable companies to put the money forward, because if they do that, then Netflix is providing a huge amount of content. And I think that's something that modern TV lacks, is the ability to choose whatever you want, when you want. And if Netflix could somehow transfer this model onto the other cable companies, that might be an interesting thing to do. And it's just a little too bad that Apple didn't get in first with this.
Why?
Well, I mean, for them to do what they did to the music industry, to the TV industry, you know? That's kind of where I'm going with this.
Apple fanboy.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, well. Anyways, anything else in this one, you two?
Well, hey, if it works, go for it. But that's what TiVo's for.
Yeah. And I mean, apparently you can already do it on TiVos and whatnot. So, I don't know. I think most people these days have a smart TV or something where they can watch Netflix. So, I mean, yeah, they're putting it in the hands of more people, but whether or not it's going to be completely groundbreaking, probably not. All right. Now, this is the next one you were saying about the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, net neutrality, dead for good, ? So, apparently there was a ruling this week in the United States done by the FCC where they confirmed that the proposed rules to replace net neutrality with regulations struck down by a court decision are on track for an FCC vote on May 15th. So, basically, what this is going to do is it's going to open up the ability for the FCC to propose internet rules on that day and then have them voted on for allowing content companies to pay the ISPs for premier access to their networks. Which, if this did go through, would completely be the end of net neutrality.
Yes, we've become China.
Oh, they don't have that there.
Yeah, Barinka, well, they have it worse because they don't approve it. They block it anyway. They're just going to make it worse. Oh, wrong place. But
yeah, so go ahead.
So far, it's basically Comcast having their hands in a lot of government's pocketbooks. And in their pockets, they're really all in bed together when it comes to this kind of thing. Verizon and Comcast supposedly are really working together to try and do whatever it takes to kill net neutrality, because then they can charge YouTube, Google, Netflix, Hulu, Yahoo, and basically everything else $20 billion for anyone to come to your site. And if not, I'm going to throttle it to hell.
Yeah, and that is essentially what net neutrality is there, what you just described. The ideas of net neutrality would have suggested that all internet packets be treated equally, whether they're going to Google, YouTube, Netflix, or RSPNB. Now, what these rulings could allow is they could allow a cable company such as Comcast or Netflix to pay money to the ISP in order to have their traffic elevated. And then through this, there could be various contract things that, you know, these packets need to have higher priority over standard YouTube, for example. And, you know, it just basically creates a tiered internet structure, which is the total opposite of net neutrality, which is why the article questions that maybe net neutrality is dead. And when it comes down to it, the thing is that this ruling says that the service can be prioritized, but in these deals that are reached, ISPs would not be allowed to shut off access to certain websites unless a customer paid. So basically it means that you're going to be able to access YouTube or whatever you want, regardless of whether or not you pay for, say, a Media Plus plan on your internet, or if you just pay for the most basic internet you can get. And, you know, when it at the end of the day, you're going to be able to access it, but the quality will not be that great. You'll have 480p video, and it just won't look good. So that is what the ISPs would be able to do with this.
You're stuck with DSL, basically.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And, I mean, we take it for granted, truly, of having good, strong internet currently, and that, you know, you can stream a gorgeous 1080p video straight off YouTube. So,
yeah. Lucky people.
Yeah, I mean, I can do it here. I don't know about you guys, but...
I can here, but not at home.
Yeah. So
350 kilobytes per second.
And when you look about it, most of the American internet service providers, Comcast specifically, are allied with major movie studios and TV producing companies.
Well, they kind of own one.
I know, NBC.
Wow. Right?
And this is exactly why they want it like this. And, I mean, like you said, it's a issue of money going into politics like that. Huge amounts of donations, which is one of the major problems with the American system, is that endless sums of money can be funneled to these people. There is no limitation on, you know, what kind of earmarks and money goes to who and what and whenever.
And, you know, one of the worst things is people then will complain and moan about how bad their internet is. Well, you didn't try to do anything, did you, right, to your congressman?
So my question, Shane, what if they use a proxy or something?
Well, I mean...
Can they throttle all proxies? Is that something that they could do? Because I'm sure that some people would try to use that as a way to get around
it. If these provisions come into place, you could effectively say treat each packet as garbage unless it comes from or is going to one of these people who have a higher level agreement with us. So it's pretty bad when you look at it. And, you know, people say this is an American-only problem, but the truth is it's not, because everyone's internet goes through American routers. And, I mean, even if you go through a Comcast router, there's a chance a packet going from Canada to the UK could get caught by this. So it's not good.
Sorry about that. Someone knocked on my door.
Ah. It's okay. But, you know, one of the things we are actually considered very low on providing a quality internet. We have places that have we can't even get free decent Wi-Fi in local areas right now. In many places that's a social norm. You have that everywhere. And you know, I'll just say this, Shane. Help us, Comcast. You're our only hope. Wait, never mind. Scratch that. Help us, Google. You're our only hope. My bad.
Yeah. And
this has been a long day.
And, you know, this is just one of the major problems of both political parties in the United States is they're willing to accept the money from wherever it comes, and there's no limits on it. And you end up with things like this where you're having decisions made on the behalf of customers.
Yeah. There was one episode of Security Now that came out recently where they went really in-depth in this. Do you remember which one that was, Shane?
I do not.
I think it was actually about the Comcast-Time Warner merger. But if you find that and link that, I think that'd be very relevant.
That was...
If Shane remembers, that'll be in the show notes if you're interested in more of net neutrality.
I don't remember the number, but you'll probably find it easily.
It's still on iTunes, like last week, so...
I don't know. At the end of the day, it's just bad news all around. And this is, you know, partially why there's two things that need to come from this. Funding limits from companies and whatnot to various politicians. And two, you got to start treating the internet like a utility, like you treat the water and the sewer systems and electricity grids.
But.
Yep. They learned what happened with the utilities, and they won't let it happen again.
That doesn't work, Shane, when most utilities here have a basic monopoly in the whole entire state.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the same thing that goes on with the internet.
I think our water and electricity is run by the government. It works, so whatever. Mm. Well, I know our electricity is indirectly TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority. But I digress.
Anyways, some good news on the Apple front for those of you iPhone 5 users out there. Apparently, there's been an issue with the iPhone 5 on-off sleep-wake button.
What happened?
So I'm not the only one that this has happened to.
Yeah. Tell us what happened to your button.
It doesn't work.
Okay.
That's it. So, now my question for you, and I'm sure it's on everyone else's mind, so am I going to have to ship this off to China or somewhere, or can I just take it to an Apple store and have them replace it in just right there?
I would imagine you can get it replaced in an actual Apple store, providing the backlog is not too much, but
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, providing they don't have a stack of 300 to fix at your local Apple store.
Oh, okay.
But once they get the parts in, it should be an easy thing to fix, and they should be able to fix it in store. The option, they say, if you don't have an Apple store near you, you can just mail it away.
Yeah, which makes sense.
But there's also an interesting line here. If you require a loaner during the time that your iPhone is being serviced, participating Apple retail stores and Apple authorized service providers will have iPhone 5 models, 16GB only available.
That's interesting. Why don't they just trade it out then?
Yeah, and I mean, you could do that.
I mean, I guess if there's like the cosmetic damage to it.
Yeah, you'd be getting a new phone for free, and a button is probably cheaper to replace than an entire device. So.
Yeah.
So,
but
you
also need to apparently have your phone upgraded to iOS 7 when it gets back to you.
Yeah, it has to be waterproof, right?
Oh yeah, sure. I get it.
When iOS 7 came out, there was something that a troll put out. They made it look like a real Apple advertisement, and they said that they made it so that if water is detected, it turns everything off, so your iDevice will be protected, or something like that. And people believed it.
Nope. Anyways, you know, yeah, if you own an iPhone 5, you can go to the website that Apple has. It's linked at update.rsbnb.com, where you can enter your serial number and it'll tell you if your phone is eligible.
And you mine was eligible. That, right? Did I get it, Shane? I think I got it Christmas 2 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds
one
right.
1 year ago?
Yeah, 1 year ago.
No.
1.5.
Not like 4 months ago, like a year and 4 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and mine was eligible. So, since that's over a year, and the iPhone 5's been out, what, 2 years?
Yep. 2 years as well.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say just about everyone is eligible.
Everyone who purchased an iPhone before March 2014. iPhone 5 before March 2014.
And when was that released?
September 2012.
Okay.
Yep.
So just about everyone.
Yeah.
Early adopters, though, you're screwed.
No, they would be included. The only people who weren't are the people who purchased it in the last 2 months.
Oh, in the last 2 months? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So everyone except anyone who just got it. And this is like what they're offering free now, right?
Yeah, and I mean, Apple has a good track record of doing that before, and they did that with bad iMac hard drives and bad MacBook Pro video cards. So
iMac?
iMacs.
You said iMic.
I don't recall saying that, but okay. All right, we're going to move right on to other things now, unless anybody else has any thing in the tech news realm.
Don't think so.
Alrighty. Well, the April 2014 Skill of the Month is chugging along like the well-oiled train that it is for the Range Skill of the Month, and Metal Maniac 9 has retaken the lead over Parnassius with 10.2 million XP.
Oh, is this one actually a fight?
Well, yeah, it looks like it, and Parnassius is in second with 9.6 million XP.
Shit, how much did Metal Maniac have?
10.2.
Wow, it's a barn burner.
What?
Have you not heard that phrase?
No, I don't live on a farm. I don't live on a farm.
It means that it's really close.
Yeah, well, that is the case then. Because if you look at the graph, there were some days where, I mean, they were fighting straight back and forth together. So, and third place is BXP Prod with 2.9 million experience gain. So, very nice to see overall. And the skill of the month for May is Slayer. Not farming, thankfully.
Why, thankfully, Shane?
I don't have enough money to fight a farming skill of the month yet.
I'll get sure Mike to talk to Freddy.
Freddy?
Fredbot.
I see.
Yeah, so sign up for Slayer. That should be another interesting barn banner then.
Should what?
That should be another interesting barn burner.
Don't look at me.
Barn burner?
Yes. Alright, this has gone on too long. Achievement of the week?
Achievement of the week. Okay, let's see. We have only one this week. It is Touchpad Pro. Got 99 strength on April 23rd. Woo!
Congratulations, Touchy.
Touchy?
Yeah. That's what Marumska calls him in the friends chat.
All right.
That's a touchy subject, Shane.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. And I guess since this is in the notes, I forgot to remove the link from last week, but fill out our supplemental survey. Tell us where we should go with RSBNB updates supplemental. I have a pretty good idea and some interesting things in the pipeline that I want to go, but I want to get your guys' input first. So just fill out the survey. That would be much appreciated. You can just go to this short link that I've put together here, and that is bit.ly. Or no, I'm sorry, not bit.ly. I forgot that SurveyMonkey has their own link. But go to svy.mk/1fb668. And then go there, fill out the survey, and... enjoy. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 1FFB. Second F is capitalized. You can find that.
Just go to the show notes and click on it.
Yeah, that's probably a better thing to do. Alrighty, I believe we got a pick of the week.
it's probably a bit late, and most of you have heard of it at this point, but Titanfall is my pick of the week. It's a fantastic game.
It looks like a cross between Halo and Call of Duty.
No, it's Gundam.
No. I don't know if that's accurate, Trekkie. So I can't say as to the accuracy of that, but it'd take too long to explain it here, but I have it on my Xbox One, and it's just a fantastic experience. Most fun I've had on a console game in a long time.
Someone blew their eardrums out.
What the
hell?
Shane, what are you doing?
I went to Titanfall.com.
And you blew yourself up?
Yes.
Shane sucks, everyone.
Duh.
Alright, and that's on the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm, and I think it's also on PC as well. So, PC Master Race...
And I was corrected. I initially called it Titanfall, but it's Titanfall.
Titanfall?
Are you kidding? You said that?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Why can't you talk? It's a serious issue you have.
No, this show has been going on for too long. I just need to put some more effort into it. Anyways, what have you been up to this week, Mr. Earth? Who was on Earth Day this week?
It was Me Day this week.
That was all about good, you.
I had a good Me Day. I don't know, what else have I done this week, Shane? I don't remember, it's all been a blur. Last week of school, I have exams now. Finished off my physics class by accelerating. My wonderful physics teacher pronounces accelerate as accelerate. So, that's going to be fun. I'm heading home tomorrow because I don't have an exam till Thursday. I'm going to take some of my stuff home and get some peace and quiet for once, which I really need. Yeah. See friends and family.
Do I who?
Say what?
Nothing.
I think that's it, really.
Anything RS related?
Fishing.
That's good.
Fishing. Yay, fishing.
How about you?
I'm still working on my port. Oh, I'm having a difficult time trying to figure out what I should do. If I should try to get stuff in the next area, but then it's kind of really difficult when none of my terracotta people are actually maxed yet. Haven't found any new captains to replace the ones I have yet. Although now I have a very, very, very good captain. I'm like,
yeah, man. I can't find a 10,000 combat one, and it's really annoying. I have all of the stuff that says it should, but just won't get
well,
it to
now, me. Now I'm getting the $35,000 captain. I was like, ooh, he's so good. What? I'm gonna kill that dog.
35,000?
Wow.
I'm in the Terracotta Zur area in the last part, and as of right now, I'm getting a they're really good captains. I just can't get the ones I want. So I'm waiting right now.
Wait, there are 35,000 chime ones?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the last area. I told Shane about it a couple weeks ago. I honestly was like, I went to take a look and I saw like, huh? Why cost so much? I was like, oh my god. His base skill was the same as a maxed out 10 that I have had right now.
From the same level?
Uh-huh.
From the same region?
I'm in the last region, but you know how when you get to Terracotta, it's only the 10,000 captains? But when I got to Zura, I suddenly noticed I had a chance of 35,000. I was like, oh my god. And I've been getting those. So those were nice. Their base at level 0 is the same as my 10,000 once at 10. I was like, wow.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's good. And I'm trying to figure out if I should go for the next area, like start farming a little bit over there, because I'm barely getting the ones I'm getting right now. And if I go to the next area, I'm pretty sure that's almost impossible again. So, I don't know. It's tricky. Savvy?
All right. Any levels or anything notable?
Oh, I got, let's see what I get. I got 97 slaying, did a little bit of engineering, 91 mining, 91 smithing. That's it.
You've been busy. Oh,
yeah, I was slaying while studying. Thank you, the
Revolution.
New mini whatchamacallit. Yay. Helped out a little bit, although I have to say, still not as AFK as it used to be. But luckily I had some...
Yeah, because everything dies.
Yeah, basically. I still have to manually do the threshold and whatnot. But that's it. For May, I'm looking forward to... I'm going to try and get the pyramid staff thing because I'm dying to get one. It'll probably still be impossible anyway. If not, let you teleport to the pyramids. Now I'm trying to do some runecraft.
It's like 900k, aren't they?
No. Oh. But then you can trade those.
The Pharaoh Scepter?
You can?
Pharaoh Scepter's like... Hold on.
It's like the best reward you can get from the Pyramid Plunder. It used to put out a world notification that someone got it in the Plunder place. So,
really?
Definitely something to target for. I never got one.
Yeah, that's right.
But apparently... Apparently they're quite common if you are going to get 99.
Plunder a lot.
I've been doing that for months, still nothing.
Well, you know, it all comes down to luck.
And did a little bit of dungeoneering. Haven't leveled up yet, but it was nice to do dungeoneering again.
Whee!
What's wrong with you?
I like the engineering. It's cool. Y'all hate it. It's not my fault. Y'all suck. And yeah, that's all that right. And I technically graduate in a month. Woo!
Congratulations.
First thing I'm going to do is shame, grab me a steak.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Much steak.
Yes. I went bleeding like Shane after I punched him in the nose, driving the bone up to his brain.
Are you laughing at that? That's really morbid.
I know, and I shouldn't be, but I just don't. I just laugh because it seems so absurd.
If you say so.
All right. Well, as for me this week, I have been just primarily doing divination.
Divination.
Yeah. So I'm closing in on 95. Finally get out of the desert area. Did some runecrafting to earn some GP, and that's about it. So the runecrafting prices of nature runes have gone down to around 330 GP from the high of whatever they were at, 360 last week. So it was fun while it lasted, I will say that. Ooh, they're back up to 347. Yay!
Why?
I don't know, but I'm happy about that. Nice money. Lovely money. Anyways.
That's the exam and info of it, Shane.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you not know that?
Well, I remember now, but I did not intend for that to be why I said that. I was pretending to just be a little Ferengi there.
I see. Of course.
Anyways. Well, I think we've talked enough for this week's episode, so our three windbags here will be saying goodbye, and we'll see you later on next week. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Yeah. Bye.
Peace out.